Dear faithful, today is the eighth Sunday after Pentecost. The epistle for the Mass is taken from St. Paul's epistle to the Romans, the eighth chapter. Brethren, we are debtors, not to the flesh, to live according to the flesh. For if you live according to the flesh, you shall die. But if by the Spirit you mortify the deeds of the flesh, you shall live. For whosoever are led by the Spirit of God, they are the sons of God. For you have not received the spirit of bondage again in fear, but you have received the spirit of adoption of sons, whereby we cry, Abba, Father. For the Spirit himself giveth testimony to our spirit that we are the sons of God, and if sons, heirs also, heirs indeed of God, and joint heirs with Christ. And the Holy Gospel is taken from the Gospel of St. Luke, chapter 16. At that time Jesus spoke to his disciples this parable. There was a certain rich man who had a steward, and the same was accused unto him that he had wasted his goods. And he called him and said to him, How is it that I hear this of thee? Give an account of thy stewardship, for now thou canst be steward no longer. And the steward said within himself, What shall I do, because my Lord taketh away from me the stewardship? To dig I am not able, to beg I am ashamed. I know what I will do, that when I shall be put out of my stewardship, they may receive me into their houses. Therefore, calling together every one of his Lord's debtors, he said to them, How much dost thou owe my Lord? But he said, 100 barrels of oil. And he said to him, Take thy bill, and sit down quickly, and write 50. Then he said to another, And how much dost thou owe? Who said, 100 quarters of wheat. And he said to him, Take thy bill and write 80. And the Lord commended the unjust steward for as much as he had done wisely. For the children of this world are wiser in their generation than the children of light. And I say to you, Make unto you friends of the mammon of iniquity, that when you shall fail, they may receive thee into everlasting dwellings. Thus far the words of the Holy Gospel. Woe to the man by whom the Son of Man shall be betrayed. It were better for that man if he had not been born. These words are taken from the Gospel of St. Matthew. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Amen. My dear faithful, this morning I wanted to speak to you about the subject of hell. And I would like to begin by telling you a story which has been called the saddest story the world has ever known. Only one time when God was here upon earth did he ever speak about the damnation of a specific soul. He rebuked the scribes and the Pharisees in general for their hypocrisy. He warned groups and individuals that unless they did penance, they would perish. But only once did he make the terrible declaration that a particular person was going to be lost for all eternity. One of you is about to betray me, he said at the Last Supper. The Son of Man indeed goeth, as it is written of him, but woe to that man by whom the Son of Man shall be betrayed. It were better for him if that man had not been born. Little is known about the life of Judas Iscariot before he was called to be a disciple of Christ. We do know that he came from the tribe of Judah. His father's name was Simon. And he was born in the village of Iscariot, which in Hebrew means the man of murder. Now, actually, an ancient tradition also says that Judas was the nephew of Caiaphas, the high priest who condemned Christ to death. And various authors have speculated about the call of Judas to be an apostle, whether he was always evil, whether he was well-intentioned at first, or if he was just a spy for his uncle. And while we do not know for sure, we do know that Jesus Christ picked Judas to be an apostle. He chose him and he called him friend. Like St. Peter and the rest, Judas received the power to work miracles. He healed the sick in the name of Christ. He cast out devils. He walked with our Lord. He heard him speak. He saw his kindness and his gentleness and his mercy towards sinners. He was so close to being Saint Judas because he was close to the source of all sanctity. It almost seems impossible in a certain sense that he should have fallen. Not only fallen, but betrayed his master to the death of the cross. The first sign of trouble, so to speak, occurs in the Gospel of St. John, chapter 6. Our Lord, after multiplying the loaves and fishes for the hungry people, our Lord fled from them into the mountains when he knew that they would come to take him by force and make him their king. For he had not come to establish an earthly kingdom. The next morning, our Lord reminded the people of this, and he promised instead that he would give them his flesh to eat and his blood to drink. And the people were horrified at this promise, and many walked away from him that day despite the miracle he had just performed. St. Peter, in the name of the other apostles, declared that they still believed in Christ even if no one else did. And our Lord looked at them sadly, and he said, "Have not I chosen you 12? And yet one of you is a devil." And St. John adds, "Now he meant Judas Iscariot, the son of Simon, for the same was about to betray him." Judas was disappointed that there would be no earthly kingdom. The promise of the Blessed Sacrament was unbelievable to him, or at least it wasn't good enough. He lost his faith in Christ, if he ever had it. Later we hear of him criticizing St. Mary Magdalene for anointing our Lord's head with a costly ointment. Judas declared that this was a waste. The ointment should have been sold for money and the money given to the poor. And he said this not because he cared for the poor, but because he had charge of the money which was to be distributed to them, and he frequently stole from this fund. Our Lord knew his heart, and he rebuked him. And from that moment on, Judas saw a chance to betray him. Of course, the Pharisees were already trying to arrest our Lord. They feared to do so because of the crowds of people who always followed him. They wanted to arrest him by night or in some quiet place where he could be tried quickly and then sent to the Roman governor for execution. They didn't know where or when they could take our Lord, and so Judas determined to show them. He went to the chief priests and he asked them what they would give him if he would lead them to our Lord. And they appointed him 30 pieces of silver, which in those days was the price of a common slave. And Judas accepted it. He rejoined the other apostles and our Lord for the Last Supper. In fact, Judas reclined in the place of honor next to Christ. During the supper, our Lord arose and washed the feet of all, even the traitors. Our Lord knew what was about to happen. But still, he spared no effort to win Judas back by kindness. And to no avail, for Judas left the supper with a hardened heart. He went to the temple and he returned with a company of guards and Roman soldiers to the place where our Lord was sure to go after the supper, the Garden of Olives. It was dark, and so Judas told the soldiers that he would give them a sign by which they would know whom it was they were to seize. Whomsoever I shall kiss, that is he. Lay hold on him and lead him away carefully, he said. Our Lord went out to meet Judas and the soldiers as they approached. And Judas stepped forward, his arms outstretched, a smile upon his face. And he embraced God himself and kissed him as one he held most dear. It took only a moment, says one author, but it was the most terrible moment in the history of man. His entire life, the thought of this night had haunted our Lord. He was not ready to condemn Judas because he had not come to condemn. He had come to save. And Judas, traitor though he was still one of his own. One that he would love even to the end. Whatever Judas did to him, our Lord would not be the one to end the friendship. We can refuse God, but God cannot refuse us. And so with the hands of betrayal still about his shoulders, Jesus whispered to Judas the last words he ever was to hear from the lips of God. Friend, why have you come? Would you betray the Son of Man with a kiss? The Sacred Heart reached out one last time. And Judas turned and ran from him. After the betrayal, we know that Judas followed the mob to the temple to hear judgment passed against our Lord. He saw the blows and the spittle, and he heard the taunts and the mockery. And he saw the patience of Christ in the midst of all of it. Perhaps he thought back on all the little acts of kindness our Lord had shown him, the confidence and trust our Lord had placed in him. Maybe Judas thought of the gratitude he had seen on the faces of those whom he had healed in the name of Christ. Whatever he thought of, he began to feel ashamed of himself. It was not contrition. It wasn't true penance. It was a feeling of guilt for having sold his friend as a slave. Now, anyone who has ever traded sanctifying grace for a moment of gratification knows what that guilt feels like. And Judas thought that perhaps he would feel better if he returned the money. But the coldness of the Pharisees and their disdain for him only added to his guilt. And perhaps then it began to dawn on him that they were really going to put Jesus to death. and it was his fault. And worse than that, Judas saw so clearly now that Jesus had foreseen all of this. He had foreseen the betrayal, the lack of faith, the petty thefts, and the critical spirit. Jesus saw all these things, and yet he still called Judas to his service. He still showered him with blessings and called him friend. Judas threw the money at the feet of the Pharisees, and he fled from the temple. Filled with the horrors of hell, writes one priest, Judas ran down the valley outside of Jerusalem. He came to a small hill known as the Mount of Defiance, where Solomon had once built pagan temples and worshipped idols. One side of the hill was very steep, like a cliff. And along its ridge grew many olive and fig trees. Nearly blinded by tears of shame and grief, Judas half ran, half crawled up the hill. He could not take the guilt, which was devouring him from the inside out. And he could not ask for forgiveness, for who could ever forgive such a crime? He knew who could have forgiven it. He knew who would have forgiven it. He had heard the words of forgiveness from the lips of Christ over and over again. I will not condemn thee. Go in peace. Be of good heart, son. Thy sins are forgiven thee. Thy sins are forgiven. Go and sin no more. It's hard to identify the single greatest tragedy in the story of our Lord's betrayal, but without a doubt, it occurred when Judas stood on the brink of that cliff and gave up hope of pardon. Across the valley was another hill, already prepared for a coming execution. In just a short time, our Lord would be lifted up on the cross. And Judas had heard from his own mouth the solemn promise, if I be lifted up from earth, I will draw all things to myself. But he would not wait for that promise. Just a few hours, the Sacred Heart would be opened by a spear to remind sinners that they must never despair, that there is always hope and access to God's love for them. But Judas would not wait to see it. In just a few hours, she who is the refuge of sinners would be begging for mercy for her sinful children. But Judas had already run from her too, and he would not go back. He knew what he would do. He would not live with the guilt he felt, and since he refused to hope for pardon, there was only one thing to do. And Judas went out and hanged himself. My dear faithful, that is the story of each and every single soul in hell. It is not a story which is past. It is a story which is just beginning. and which will ever be beginning, because hell is eternal. The guilt and despair Judas felt as he tied the rope around the branch of the tree, he still feels now and will feel forever. And it's worse now because he knows it will never end. Before his eyes, there is the vision of a cross, a pierced heart, and a sorrowful mother. He still hears the word friend ringing in his ear, and he knows he has lost for all eternity the happiness he was made for. Of course, he feels the fire. He smells the decaying flesh, and he sees the demons who torment him. But the despair that began on Good Friday, 2,000 years ago now, has never ceased and never will cease to be his greatest suffering. It was actually this despair which our Lord willed to feel on the cross when he cried out, my God, why hast thou forsaken me? It was Our Lady who revealed to St. Bridget that for the rest of her life, she carried the anguish of that cry in her heart. It was so terrible for her to hear. And so it does not matter why a soul goes to hell, whether for one unrepentant mortal sin or for many, whether for murder or for impurity or for sacrilege, this everlasting despair is the punishment of all. Every soul in hell will know for all eternity that he or she ran from our Lord, chose something in place of him, and then refused to ask for forgiveness. Perhaps the soul abused his mercy by an insincere confession, or perhaps gave him the kiss of a traitor by an unworthy Holy Communion. In any case, each soul in hell knows it is there through its own fault. And my dear faithful, we must not go there. If we lose our soul, it would be better that we never be born. Of course, God does not command the impossible. On the contrary, in a certain sense, what is remarkable is that God requires so little of us to save our souls. St. Alphonsus says that there is a very simple plan of life which will assure us of salvation. He says, pray to Jesus and Mary each morning and each evening. Take 5 or 10 minutes upon rising and before going to bed to speak to them in prayer and to consider in silence for a few moments their sufferings. Hear Mass when you can, and if you cannot, he says, at least make an act of spiritual communion. Visit some image of our Lord and our Lady and pray your rosary each day. Make a brief examination of conscience before retiring. Often approach the sacrament of penance with a sincere desire to amend. And in times of temptation, say the holy names of Jesus and Mary. And if you act in this manner, says St. Alphonsus, you will certainly be saved. not you may be saved. He says, if you act in this manner and persevere in this manner, you are going to heaven. And finally, we are to remember that our Lord did not come for those who were well. He came for those who were sick. Mary is not the refuge of saints. She is the refuge of sinners. We must be faithful to them and never give up hope. For besides the words of St. Alphonsus, we have the words of our Lord. He who perseveres to the end will be saved. And to persevere does not mean never to fall. It means to be determined always to do better. Such a person, our Lord says, will be saved. God bless you. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Amen.